23 degrees in Lynchburg, 24 in Bedford. We have 24 in Roanoke and Salem, 22 in Danville.
So I love our texters. A lot of people like to text instead of call.
Yeah, that's fine. That's cool.
We had someone text in, and I just asked who it is, just so we know we can attach a name next time you text, and we know who we're talking with. He was talking about George Martin and some of the tracks that appeared on Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And whoever you are, our listener, this is one of the songs George Martin said one of the biggest regrets he ever made on the Sgt. Pepper's, and because he was one of the brains behind the Beatles, is that he didn't put Strawberry Fields Forever on that album and didn't add this song to that album. So originally, Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields Forever were supposed to go on there, and they decided to nix those two cuts, and they made it onto the Magical Mystery Tour album, which is fine. That was also a very amazing album. They have some strange outfits on the beginning. But another last trivia thing concerning Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. John Lennon, Janet, wanted to put, there's a lot of cardboard cutouts. It would cost £50,000 to produce that album cover now. It was the most expensive album cover up to that point of all time. I think they spent something like £3,000, but today's value is £50,000 just for the album cover because of the way it was created.
What is that in dollars?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know what the transfer rate is right now, but we didn't have computers back then to do this kind of stuff. You know, you could do it a whole lot easier, probably in a day easily with cropping photos. But they wanted to add Hitler's photo in there and Jesus. And, you know, they would be spread apart or whatever. But the controversy, they believed in the fallout. Those that, you know, were behind the scenes said, no, we can't put either one of those on the album cover. Probably a wise choice because the Beatles were later, you know, even American DJs were telling you to burn your Beatles albums because of a comment that John Lennon made about
Jesus, yeah,
and that comment was, you know, I'm not going to stand up for it, but it was stupid. It was pulled out of context too. He didn't mean it that way. He was later interviewed and said, look, I said, and I was lamenting the fact that we were more popular than Jesus was at the time. You know, so I don't know, you know, maybe,
and that it was a pain.
Yeah. Anyway, it was an interesting times. They heck, that's nothing compared to what we see now.
Oh, I know.
I can't even repeat.
Just so you know, 50,000 pounds is like $66,855.
Okay. That would be a lot of money.
That's a lot.
So,
no doubt about it.
But anyways, the Beatles made their mark. There'll be no one ever again like them.
So when it comes to Thanksgiving,
yes,
you're traditionally, what do you think of?
Okay. Growing up, it was the turkey, the dressing, the mashed potatoes. Those are the things. And cranberry sauce, but see, my mom didn't make her own.
Oh, she didn't? No. Was it in the shape of a can?
It was.
When it came out?
But she put her emphasis on other things, like the
turkey.
And the pink stuff, of course. We talked about that yesterday.
Because not many people even eat the cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to have a little obligatory, you know, on my plate.
Well, you went through H-E double hockey sticks to get there to have that little insignificant thing.
I actually have a couple of recipes that are really, that make a really good cranberry.
Right.
Like one has orange and walnuts and things like that, and it's really good with your turkey and everything.
If you weren't here last week, Janet had a bit of a crisis making
a little bit.
Because there's a very small window before it boils over.
Right.
And I can't remember, was it
I got distracted downstairs.
Yeah.
Mark had me come look at something
And when you came back.
And it was like, oh, it smells so bad. Yeah.
But you saved it.
I did save it.
Obviously, what boiled out and over
and
had to go.
And it was fine. But did you know, no cranberries at the first Thanksgiving?
No.
None.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Matter of fact, the first Thanksgiving dinner didn't include a lot of the things that we enjoy today.
Okay.
There are several documents that talk about the first meal.
Mm-hmm.
Two primary sources confirmed that there were certain things that were staples. Wild fowl was there. Corn for like bread or porridge was there. Venison was certainly there. But many of the other things were not. It was also a 3-day celebration. Besides waterfowl, there were a great store of wild turkeys, so there were turkeys there. But it would seem that duck and geese were more popular choices than turkeys were, at least at that. It wasn't the centerpiece like it would be today. Goose or duck would be the wildfowl of choice. Also, passenger pigeons were very popular, which I think is odd. Of course, they've been extinct here for, you know, quite a while.
Right.
And they would spit roast them. Sometimes they would boil them first and then spit roast them. Because it was a three-day celebration, many times they would do, like, broths the next day. They did use stuffings, things like onions and herbs and things like that. It was a long time before we saw cranberries mentioned, that they started, you know, using those kinds of things. They did have carrots and garlic and pumpkins and squash and things like that. No potatoes, though. And potatoes are a big part of our Thanksgiving. But potatoes came from South America.
Okay.
Sweet potatoes came from the Caribbean.
Really?
So they weren't in North America.
Oh, no. Okay.
At all.
Right.
And it would be another 50 years before the cranberry sauce was ever mentioned. So it looked a little different back then.
Wow.
So.
Well, one of the things, I may have shared this, you know, with you before. I had a friend, good friend, who grew up in Maine, and they would let the kids out for a week or two during harvest time because major growing potatoes up there. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, potato growing is a big deal up there.
Right.
And
but we didn't even have potatoes.
I know. So it makes me wonder.
It's just so bizarre.
I am so intrigued with history. We were talking about who invented this, that, and the other. Who brought the first potato seeds into our country that Maine would become this? Because you think of Idaho, because the big tractor trailer,
well,
the guy's always chasing.
Seed potatoes, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's amazing.
Of course, then you had the Irish famine. And But I mean, you think of all the tomatoes and things that made their way here through immigrants. You had Italian immigrants bring their tomatoes of choice. Then
and it landed at my house. The only tomato, you know, plant that survived all this mess this last summer was our Italian tomatoes.
There you go.
It's crazy.
And then you had the Polish linguiças. They came across. You had the German pinks.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those things came through with other immigrants. A little bit later on this hour, we're going to be playing a very special piece from Paul Harvey. I think you'll really enjoy it. Yeah.
I think so too.
It's good stuff. Nobody can spin a yarn quite like Paul Harvey can, unless it's, of course, you know, MSNBC.
That's not a good yarn.
Apparently,
oh no!
All this false media reporting,
right?
Is really getting called out now.
Good,
especially after the verdict came in,
right?
And people, I mean, and we said this on the, we've been saying this for weeks,
right?
That a lot of people in this country had no idea that the two men he shot.
We're
white men.
I know.
I mean, our listeners knew that because we talked about it a lot. But it's amazing to me the number of people, educated people, that had no clue who these men were, what color they were, nothing. And that was perpetuated by celebrities and news medias. The persistent media falsehood that Rittenhouse was armed with an AR-15 when he, quote, crossed state lines before his deadly encounters in Wisconsin has led to multiple corrections and considerable mockery as the reckoning over misleading coverage of the trial continues.
Right.
The most persistent myth around the case was peddled repeatedly in liberal media outlets, in print and on television, before and even during the trial. It was established through testimony and police records that the rifle Rittenhouse used in the shootings was already stored in Kenosha. Several of his family members lived in Kenosha, and the AR-15 style rifle was bought for Rittenhouse by his friend Dominic Black and stored at his house. The oft-used media line that he traveled across state lines gave off the impression he was an outsider who traveled from afar, when in reality, he traveled less than an hour from his town in Antioch, Illinois, just south of the border. Following his acquittal on all charges, he claimed self-defense in the case. CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman reported on Sunday's Face the Nation that Rittenhouse drove in from Illinois armed for battle. That led the news outlet to have to issue a correction and an apology for its language. He was hardly alone, though. Lots of people repeated the phrase. Anna Kasparian of the far-left Young Turks blasted Rittenhouse for having, quote, crossed state lines with an illegal gun earlier this month before correcting herself on a later show, saying it was important to have the facts.
Yeah,
it's important to have the facts before you start shooting your mouth off. That would be good.
Yeah, exactly.
The 17-year-old vigilante, that's another term they love to use.
Sure.
Arguably a domestic terrorist.
Oh, that's another one.
Picked up a rifle, drove into a different state to shoot people, said MSNBC's John Hellman last year.
I mean, I can see the movie being made right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Not only was he not standing his ground, he wasn't even standing in his own state, said MSNBC host Joe Scarborough, who seems to have the most...
Yeah, they do.
He crossed state lines with an AR-15, threw himself in the middle of all this, and started shooting people.
Right.
This is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, if this were another industry, they would be fined for this kind of thing.
Yeah, liable. Yeah, no doubt. And I hope he goes after him. I really do.
Well, it's all recorded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all on tape. Mm-hmm. And so many people were shooting video that made it into this court case. You see everything that was leading up to, during, and after. So it was caught on film from different vantage points, just like the movie.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Don Lemon.
Oh, my gosh.
In Wisconsin, you have Rittenhouse, a white teenager who crossed state line with an AR-15-style rifle, killed two men, wounded another, and was told by police to go home.
Yeah.
MSNBC did this the most. They seem to be the most culpable with this. ABC's Joy Behar also making false assertions.
Sure.
Rittenhouse goes across state lines with an AR-15 with his mother. Apparently his mother did not drive him to Wisconsin. See, we had heard that earlier. I thought she had, because I was upset about that.
Right.
An assertion also incorrectly made by CNN. Behar corrected the remark about his mother a few minutes later, but not about the rifle.
Yeah. I'm going to play something that it was in our intro. And for those of you that aren't up that early, you can always catch it by going to The Morning Jam on VTRN. Go to SoundCloud, type in The Morning Jam on VTRN, start typing in today's date, or type in Morning Jam Eye Opener and today's date. This is some of the media, but where I'm going to let it go through to, Janet, is I'm going to stop it after on a basketball court. They're analyzing this before a basketball NBA game.
Oh, jeez.
Provocatively drove across state lines.
Gee, it almost makes you wonder that they want you to think he drove across state lines. I had no idea. But it's amazing. One simple fact can be distorted, and no producer has taken the time to correct it. They're too busy trying to adjust the meds for Joy Reid and spotting Chris Cuomo on his bench. Meanwhile, Eric Swalwell didn't drive across state lines. But what did the fabricating fart bag do with state secrets?
Lord.
When he did the bang bang with the fang fang? That whole story stinks to high heaven, partly because Swalwell just had cabbage for dinner. Jeez. All right, I'll stop. But of course, Rittenhouse did not take a gun across state lines. You'd think a party that has a reputation of stealing elections would know where state lines are drawn. But good liars know that correcting a lie makes people stop trusting you. And the lies now come from everywhere.
Listen to this.
Here's the thing. The Black Lives Matter protest was actually taking place because Jacob Blake was shot and killed by police officers.
No, that didn't happen.
Now, that is those comments that you just heard right. are made pre-NBA basketball game by commentators. What in the hell are they doing before a basketball right. game commenting on this stuff and not even getting it right?
Not getting it right, and also spouting this stuff off to an audience
right.
who is going to be more likely to just take them at their word, not do their homework, not take a look at
sports anything, fans.
Just to get work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't care about that kind of thing.
Right.
And then they'll go out of their way to talk about President Trump inciting people.
Mm-hmm.
But these NBA commentators can say whatever, and they're not held accountable at all for it.
It's nuts. Like you said, you know, Janet is exposing what we knew some of this stuff, but more stuff is coming to light, and it is going completely against.
And it's too little, too late.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter now. Yeah. MSNBC.
It's a footnote. It's not a headline.
CBS is we carry the CBS news. I don't care who it is.
Right.
Get it right.
Yeah.
And if you get it wrong, say that you get it. Yeah. We get stuff wrong.
Sure.
Sometimes. Not because we don't absolutely try to make sure that we have it right, but we're trying to dig through the muck like everybody else
is. Yeah, a lot of noise out there.
My favorite part of this was the Babylon Bee. You know, I love the satire of the Babylon Bee.
It's hard to tell what's Babylon and what's not now.
Right. Well, they got in on the mockery with the headline, "Media warns thousands of Americans planning to cross state lines to celebrate Thanksgiving." I like that one.
Uh-oh. Hey. I just been rebuked.
Uh-oh. What'd you do?
My mother-in-law just texted me and says, "Mark, watch your language."
Oh, you said the H-E double hockey
stick. I'm sorry, Mom. I do it for, you know, to make a point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you made your point, and now you're in trouble.
I'm in trouble.
Well done. Now who's on the naughty list? You are. We'll be back. Thanks for listening to The Morning Jam. I'm Janet Rose. He's naughty Mark Land.
I am.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's the rebirth of Common Sense Talk Radio. Common Sense Talk Radio. We are The Morning Jam. The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
It's The Morning Jam. It is 7:26. We're going to have, before the show is over, some more of these Thanksgiving bits, but we wanted to get right to the phone. Dr. Harb is on the line. Good morning.
Hey, Mark and Janet. Hey, so my brother-in-law, who's fairly liberal and lives in Florida, he came up. He's up for the week. And when he came to visit us, when he first came in Sunday or Monday, we, you know, the topic went right to the Rittenhouse case, of course.
Right.
And, you know, it's really amazing how two different people, you know, two different worlds of view can be so, you know, just diametrically opposed. He said, well, you know, Kyle is a murderer. He's definitely guilty. He needs to go to jail. You know, those people that he shot were innocent bystanders. And he said, he shouldn't have had a gun because really the Second Amendment, the Constitution really does not allow you to really own a gun. It's only for a militia and not for an individual person. So, you know, the conversation kind of went on and on like that. And I said, well, you know, what about these facts? And what about these facts? And what about the Supreme Court, you know, after the Heller case, saying that yes, an individual does have a right to possess and carry and bear a weapon, and it's just amazing how facts don't seem to matter at all and don't seem to play a part in a person, you know, the liberal's sort of mindset and decision making process. It just really amazes me.
So did he truly understand? Did he see any of the footage of these men and their behavior?
Yeah, Janet. So he said to me, I've watched all the footage. I've watched the entire trial.
Wow.
And I said, well, we looked at it too. And even though he watched the whole, all the footage and we watched all the footage, you know, he still came to that conclusion. You know, Kyle Rittenhouse was a murderer and could not legally be carrying that weapon. And had no right to use it, and you know. And I said, "Well, what about the fact that you know, the guy tried to clobber him with a skateboard, which could you know, which could definitely kill you with a head injury."
Oh yeah,
right.
And he said, "Well, you know." And he said, "Well, no, you don't really have a right to have a gun to defend yourself against something like that." And you know,
it just
really is amazing how he watched the whole thing, all the footage, everything.
yeah.
and came to the conclusion, really, that Kyle was a murderer and needed to be in jail, and he was totally in the wrong, and that the jury, and he said the jury, I said, well, what about the jury? The jury made a decision here,
mm-hmm.
and that's the final decision. He goes, they're wrong, you know, they're wrong. Kyle's a murderer. I saw the footage.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so
I mean,
really is amazing.
Well, he's
truly
right.
Amazing.
He is a murderer. He will always be a murderer because he murdered someone. Okay, he did it in self-defense, but he's going to have to live with that forever. So on that, we can agree, all right?
Uh-huh.
We can even agree that I don't even think the young man should have been there. However, if that were his son and somebody was trying to hurt him, is he not supposed to defend himself? I mean, is that where we are?
Yeah, that's where they are. That you're really not supposed to. Particularly with a firearm, you're not, according to my brother-in-law, you know, you are not legally or morally or ethically supposed to defend yourself with a firearm. It's not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be able to own a firearm according to the Constitution.
And wow. And let me ask you this.
And we got about a minute here.
He said that was only for militia. Does he understand the definition of a militia?
I don't think that people really look into that. I mean, you know, if you read like the Federalist Papers, like James Madison and Alexander Hamilton, and you really look at the Constitution, you know, it's clear, and it's clear by the Supreme Court in the Heller case that it's an individual right.
A militia is raised up from the civil population. That's what a militia is. A militia is you and I stepping up
when
we need to be protected.
Yeah.
Thanks
Absolutely.
For calling in this
hey,
morning.
Hey, Dr. Harm, have a great Thanksgiving, bud. Thanks. We always appreciate your comments.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, sir.
Bye-bye.
It's maddening.
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably a good thing I wasn't there. I'm guessing.
You might not want to have Janet over for Thanksgiving.
Dinner, yeah, probably not.
Dr. Harm. Oh, my gosh. Hey, we do have... some guests. He just arrived with bags in his hands. That would be Colt from Fix Stupid Computers, and he's got breakfast. You never know what might happen when Colt shows
Hopefully
up.
Hopefully we'll get back on the air. Mark's not eating. And currently we have 25 degrees in Bedford, 24 in Lynchburg, 25 in Roanoke and Salem, 23 in Danville. Burr.
Gotcha. Now, it's interesting, based on what you said going into that break there, Janet, that we'll get Mark back if he's not eating. I haven't even touched my sandwich yet, but apparently you were able to indulge a little bit. Is it good?
I took a bite. It was
you
funny.
Did? Is it good?
Yeah, I was prepared for him. I didn't eat breakfast this morning.
Oh, see, I literally was going to stop.
Because sometimes when he comes, I don't know, and then...
Sure.
Yeah.
And I literally was going to stop at Sheetz and maybe do my thing, and I go, you know what? Colt's coming today.
It's Colt Day.
It's Colt Day. We fix stupid computers. That's He's bringing us breakfast. We'll get to Colt here in just a moment, and I might be able to take a bite of my sandwich. In the meantime, the least of these ministries in Roanoke is asking for the public's help in a new venture. They've launched a warming bus for the homeless population in Roanoke and throughout the Roanoke Valley. That helps them through those cold winter months. The 26-passenger bus was donated to their ministry, which will be open through February. It's located on 422 Luck Avenue. That's downtown Roanoke. And will be open from between 9 p.m. and 7 a.m. A little bit different hours because this is when folks are, you know, struggling the most with those cold temperatures. Any night where the outside is below 40 degrees, while inside the bus, guests will have access to heat, lights, blankets, light snacks, and a portable restroom available to use for the overnight. In order for these efforts to move forward, they're asking for around 30 male volunteers or male-female teams to commit to one day per month as Hope Haven Concierge is open. I think that is a neat concept. It's a little bit different, and we're grateful for the folks at the least of these ministries. Help them out there. Again, they are on 422 Luck Avenue. That's where they're going to be locating that bus in temperatures of 40 degrees or lower.
Well, Virginia Governor-elect Glenn Youngkin visited Southwest Virginia yesterday. He held a thank you rally in Scott County at a telephone cooperative. Republican state lawmakers were in attendance, as well as Congressman Morgan Griffith. It's all part of Youngkin's thank you tour across the Commonwealth to thank voters for their hard work and their support. Southwest Virginia really came together in this election like I don't think it's ever seen before. We've been telling everybody to get out and vote, and we can make a difference. Southwest Virginia really delivered, Youngkin said yesterday. According to data from the Virginia Department of Elections, 82% of votes during the election in the Southwest Virginia viewing area went to Glenn Youngkin. Youngkin also shared his plans for his first full day in office, which includes changes to education and to the parole board. He says the first day we're going to work on making sure that the parole board is turned over, that in fact Virginia is open for business. We've dealt with critical race theory in the classrooms. On top of that, we're going to make sure everyone recognizes the government is going to work for Virginians. Youngkin also says he'll rescind the current mandate requiring children in grades K through 12 to wear masks.
Okay.
What are you doing?
Did you hear all that noise during that news story?
Oh, I did. It was a little hard to focus.
Thank you. Well, you managed to focus. See, I wouldn't be able to. It's because, well, Colt, by the way, is this coffee?
That's why I don't decaf? Make... Is that high test coffee?
It is definitely high test coffee.
This could be trouble.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing fine. Colt checking in. And
I was doing fine. We fixed it. I found out you gave him high test coffee.
We fixed stupid computers.
Is there any other?
Well, there
Not
is.
Not for me.
For the evening, sometimes there has to be.
I'm allowed 2 caffeinated drinks per day. I don't normally take them, you know, in honor of my co-host over there.
But that's 2 in that 1 cup.
I know it is. This is my daily allotment right here. And I got.
But you already had some.
I got to sip a little. Well, that was half and half, right?
No. Or,
that's high test. Mm-hmm. Holy cow. Mm-hmm. That means I'll be having about 3.5 total.
Jeez.
I just have to drink a little bit of it so I can put the lid on it. And Colt, thank you so much. He always comes by and spoils us. And
you're welcome.
So we're going to dive right in, and some of the things that you and I talked about in the last couple of days. Of course, Colt repairs computers. He gives you updates. He helps you when you get, you know, phishing where even when scams take over your computer, he does what he can to help you out there. Primarily what I wanted to focus on, because we're heading into the holidays here, Colt, is the, you know, Windows 11, you know, it's out. And
it is.
Yeah. And is it the beta version or is this the real version?
No, it's the real version.
The real version. Mm-hmm. So if you're wondering what Windows, you know, operating system that you're going to get if you go out and buy a new computer right now, there's a good chance that it's going to have Windows 11 on it. Is that correct?
It'll be preloaded from the manufacturer. Yeah.
Right.
Unless there's some leftover computers, then they might have 10 on it still.
So if I'm someone that's, you know, I'm a casual user, I mean, I use my computer, but I don't keep up with softwares and operating systems and those kinds of things. Tell me, if I get a notice and let's just say I'm running a Windows 10 machine, because if you're running Windows 7 right now, there are no more patches or security, you know, benefits from Microsoft. They quit servicing that well over a year ago.
They did. And Windows 7 still runs, but right. Like you said, if you do a new reload of 7, it's going to be hard pressed to get the updates for it.
Right. So let's assume, because I do want to go to people that had Windows 7 that went to Windows 10. But right now, what can I expect out of Windows 11 that's different than Windows 10?
Well, Windows 11 is basically an update to Windows 10. It comes down through the check for update screen, and there is a compatibility checker that will run.
Right.
And so you go in to do check for updates, and it'll have a banner there saying we can check your system. And you can run that, and it will either allow you to download it or not. Right now, I don't recommend doing it, even with the high-end systems.
Okay.
My experience with Windows 11... I like to be on the leading edge of technology, not the bleeding edge of technology.
Right.
And I've had several systems that have been 11 and they have just locked up. They've gone to blue screen. I think eventually it'll be there, but it's like any new operating system. It just came out. You might want to give it some time to settle down first. If you have an older system and it says that you can upgrade, you might want to wait just a little while.
Kind of like I did with the vaccine. I waited till April, and a lot of, you know, let's just call it soft tyranny from my co-host and my wife to get my my vaccine. But yeah, it's a good thing to wait a little while. Just like a new car, a new model comes out, you know, maybe
well,
the first
operating
year.
Operating system version from Microsoft, it's interesting, down through the years has right. been bad.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look back,
they're known for that.
I go back a long time and you look sure. at 98, you look at Millennial, and then there was Vista. Oh, and then they fixed the problems.
And Windows Me.
Windows 7.
How long did Windows Me?
Well, they had to come out with a new one because it was the year 2000.
Right.
And so that was that. Windows 7 was the longest running, and it was very, very stable.
Okay.
It wasn't good enough after a while. You had to come out with Windows 8.
Right.
Terrible.
We had
so many clients that, yeah, it was a mess. And then Windows 10 got off to a shaky start, but it's been out now several years, and it's really stable. 11, let's see. Well, they've got rounded corners on the windows.
Everybody, isn't that special?
Everybody needs that. And they've got the taskbar menu in the middle.
Right.
So there's not...
Isn't that an Apple thing?
It is an Apple thing.
And
they've dressed up the icons and put mm-hmm. color with it. But honestly, right now, if you can avoid it, I would hold off just yet. But you get a new computer,
right?
You might not be able to avoid it.
Okay, so I am a Windows 7... I have two PCs at the house that are Windows 7 that I've had Windows 10... put on. This is a few years ago. Now, if I had a Windows 7 and I'm running a 32-bit system, and I know this is getting in the weeds a little bit, but it is important. There's 32-bit and then 64-bit.
Correct.
That's kind of like, you know, you're a V8 and a four-cylinder.
You
know? Well, in a sort of way.
In a sort of way.
Yeah, because some programs won't run. If I'm starting out with a 7, now I've got 10 on it, are those computers going to be able to handle 11, or it's a two-part question, is it going to be able to handle it, and or how long will Windows 10, do you think, will still get the updates from Microsoft? Because eventually they stop doing it because they want
right.
you to spend money. This is how Bill Gates, whether they're crappy operating systems or not, the guy's a kabillionaire.
Kabillionaire, did you say?
Yeah.
A gazillionaire?
Yeah.
Windows 10 has a lifespan until 2025.
Okay.
So you've got 4 years. And come 2025, it's probably going to be a new version of Windows
right.
by then. Windows 11, one of the things Microsoft is doing is they're trying to get you to buy a new computer.
Right.
I firmly believe that. And the
sure.
reason I say that is because this is the first time they've run a checker to see if your internal system meets certain security measures. And
right.
there was a thing years ago that manufacturers put in their systems to allow for only Windows to be installed on their computer.
Right.
And there was a lot of pushback.
Right.
And they won. So now, a few years later, they've implemented this trusted platform management to an
right.
extent where Microsoft will run. So bottom line is, if your computer is 3, maybe 4 years old, maybe 5, I don't know, but 3 or 4, you can run Windows 11. It'll tell you. That's why there's a compatibility checker.
Okay.
But also, by doing the upgrade, I've never had a good experience by taking one OS and upgrading it to the next OS. It's always better to do a clean reinstall,
okay.
even from 7 to 10.
Yeah.
Eventually, 10 needs to be reloaded.
Right. Clean the slate.
Clean the slate and start
right.
over. Back up your data. Clean
okay.
the slate and reload. Older systems... don't worry. Don't feel like you have to get 11.
Right. I'll tell you what. Can you hang on for a few minutes?
Sure.
Because we're going to be up against a break, but we do have a call, 866-916-3776. Let's see who's on the line.
Get it, Bob. Get Salty.
Hey, Salty.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, my gosh. Good morning to you there, Colt.
Well, good morning, Salty. What a privilege.
I ain't got no... computers to fix, Colt, but can you fix stupid?
I don't think so, Salty. We fix stupid computers.
Hey, you know what my husband calls that?
What's that?
That's an ID10T era.
Mm.
You spell that on the keyboard, it spells idiot.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to put you on the spot, Colt, but
thank you, Salty.
I did want to call in real quick, Janet, because they got me running. They're running it for the turkey biscuits. They're running the spread right now at Biscuitville.
No.
So I just got a minute here. I just wanted to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving to you. What you having for dinner? You're not having raccoon, are you?
Well, we did find some raccoon. You was talking about that the other day.
We
got some raccoon on the table. But I just wanted to share real quick here about the Black Friday story. You was talking about them yesterday. You know, me and Delmont one time had to fight this lady. She was only about 80 pounds, but I swear she had one Well, I mean, Kick Jetted. I tried to buy one of them Billy Bass things. You know them bass pipes that the fish used to talk and sing to you?
I do remember, yeah.
Those are pretty cool.
Well, let me tell you, old Granny, she knew how to disable two 50-year-old men pretty darn quick where she placed her kick, if you know what I'm saying.
No.
I do.
Hi-ya!
I do.
My gosh, I wear a jock strap now when I go out on Black Friday because of that.
Careful.
I'll bet you do. So I have to ask, who did you get the, who were you shopping?
Ahead.
Who were you shopping for the Billy Bass for?
Well, of course I was getting it for Miss Salty.
Of course.
He wanted one of them that, well, see, I have a friend, he kind of does some illegal things. But anyway, he put Barry White in there. That fish would sing Barry White music, Janet, and it made for some good romantic Friday night.
Wow. Well,
that's what I'm talking about.
Wow, you do spoil her.
You do.
That's great.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That's great. Well, we wish you a very happy Thanksgiving as well.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, Salty.
Well, thank you. And just be thankful for what you got, people, because
yes,
FedEx or UPS probably going to be delivering your stuff all Amazon this year, because most of them gifts are sitting out there on them boats out there off Long Beach, California.
Let's hope not.
Unless you shop local.
That's right. I'll tell you what, me and Delmont might be at the flea market selling some good stuff the week before Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thanks, Salty. Have a good one.
You too, Salty.
Happy Thanksgiving, Salty.
Billy Bass, romantic.
I know where I'm going to be doing my shopping before Christmas.
The flea market.
Do you mind if I join you?
Hey, I've got to take advantage of the Barry White thing, though. This one's going out to you and Miss Salty.
Feels so good. You're lying here next to me.
The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark. The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark.
Everyone's seen a singing fish before. The head-swinging, Bobby McFerrin singing Big Mouth Billy Bass was a popular gag gift in the late 90s through the early 2000s. But what happens to all those fish when people don't want them anymore? Well, the lucky ones end up here at the Billy Bass Adoption Center in Memphis, Tennessee. In 2002, the owner of the Flying Fish restaurant realized people would get tired of the fish pretty quickly and decided to retire the toys by hanging them up within the establishment. Now, more than 300 fish hang on the walls here with their batteries removed so they can't hurt people anymore. The owner said most are brought in by women who want the creature, often owned by their husbands, out of the house. They say, if he comes looking, don't tell him it's here. The restaurant even gives out a free catfish basket with each one donated. With all of the different colored fish lining the walls, it's clear that there's no other restaurant quite like this one in the world. And that uniqueness makes the Billy Bass Adoption Center a sight to see.
It's the rebirth of Common Sense Talk Radio. We are the Morning Jam.
I knew I wanted to go to Memphis for a reason, not just to see Graceland. I'm going to go by and visit the wall of fish.
The little orphan Billy Bass.
And they've taken the batteries out so they can't harm people anymore, Janet. What is that supposed to mean?
That sounds like Kara was involved at some point or another. Is what it sounds. I just
Lordy.
Hope that Salty didn't hear that.
Oh, I know. It'll be a beeline with the.
He'll be all about it.
He'll take that.
He's liable to
Winnebago down there and load them all up in there.
He's liable to start a Central Virginia chapter.
Right.
Taking in the Billy Bass. That's one. I never had. Yeah. I did have the Chia Pet Obama.
You did?
Yeah. Okay. That got passed around a lot.
Did it?
For several years. Yeah.
And nobody ever put the paste on the top to let his hair grow?
No, they just re-gifted it next year to some, you know, a very upset recipient. So that's what we did.
Well, we have Colt in the studio from We Fix Stu Computers. We Fix Stupid Computers, talking about Windows 11. We did have somebody text in, Janet, about Macs.
What did
they have to say?
They wanted to know what Colt's thoughts were on the Mac. Said, I'm a Mac fan. Mm-hmm. What does Colt think about those? They seem to last longer and run more efficiently than Windows.
They do. Personally, I use a Mac as well as a PC, and the latest version of the Mac OS operating system is Monterey. They usually release that in October. Mm-hmm. To this point, I've not had any problems with it. Apple tends to be a little more stable when they release some things.
Oh, you mean they test it first?
Yeah, yeah. I will say, though, I have had some issues. There are some updates that come out and have done things, but overall, they've been a little bit more stable. But the reason Macs tend to last longer, I think, is that Apple tends to go for more of a, like, they put more reliable parts as far as they build a laptop out of metal instead of plastic.
The hardware is better.
It's the hardware, typically. Yeah. And Apple is a hardware company. That's what they started out 45 years ago doing. I've always been the biggest believer, use whatever operating system you need for your application. Look at the application first. If you need to use something that only runs on Windows, run Windows.
Yeah.
Mac does a good job, and their operating systems are very stable, and they are a little bit more secure too, because the core of it, without getting into the detail here, if somebody wants to stop by, we can talk about it. But just the way they're engineered under the covers, you typically don't need an antivirus on them, for example. Yeah. But they're good systems.
Hey, I want to mention here, when it comes to that too, Hi Sierra and Sierra, we run ProPresenter at our church.
Okay.
And ProPresenter, our version, because we have an older version, wouldn't run on Hi Sierra, so I had to reload Sierra, and we're fine. I mean, there's those kind of issues that you're just saying, depending on the software that you have.
Apple typically uses a 7-year rule in arrears, and I've got several older Macs that will only go, say, to Hi Sierra or to Sierra. And for those who don't know,
that's the
buzzword, like Vista, 7,
exactly, for Apple.
Sounds like you're talking in military code. Hi Sierra. Okay, I don't know.
Wasn't
what
that,
that
is.
A 9 or 5 something?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Cowboy show and the Noah's High Chaparral.
Let me ask you this though: it used to be, I'm assuming it still is, that the Apples are considerably more expensive than the Windows. Is that still the case?
You can get a like a good Mac. Here's what's interesting: the MacBook Air, for example, if we take that, used to be like the secondary low end computer. Okay. Well, the MacBook Air now has more power in it than the MacBook Pro had a few years ago, and you can get a MacBook Air now. I don't keep up with the exact prices, but you can get a MacBook Air for around $1,000. And there's a ton of features on there. If you look at the price of PCs, yes, you can get that $200 Walmart computer. But if you look at good quality systems, they're up around $8,000 to $9,000 to $1,000. Some of those gaming systems are outrageous.
Yeah. Right.
And the prices really have leveled out. And so they're pretty much across. Now, when you go to the high-end Macs, they can. But Apple has their desktop called a Mac Mini. Mm-hmm. It's a little thing that sits on the desk. It is now sporting the what they call the M1 chip. They got rid of the Intel chips, and they use M1. It is the fastest computer on the market. And they did a head-to-head with that, and it's amazing how fast that chip is. It's built around graphics now. That doesn't mean you can necessarily do your gaming with it like you can, because there's NVIDIA and there's AMD, and those are designed around the gaming community. That's a whole other topic.
Right.
But the but that Mac Mini is, I believe, $799, $899. Oh, okay. Now you have to put a keyboard and a monitor with it, but still.
Right.
We're going to have you back before Christmas. How
That's
about
fine.
That?
That's
okay.
Fine.
Do tell about your wife's business here. You got about 30 seconds.
Are the cutest things I've ever seen.
The custom cookies by Peggy? Yeah, those are cool. So she is just quite the cookie artisan. And so while I'm working on computers, she's usually in her office and in her kitchen doing these cookies.
They're the most amazing.
Really good. Yeah. Yeah.
She needs to go on the Food Network.
Yeah. Tell us the name of the company one more time.
It's Custom Cookies by Peggy. She's on Facebook.
Go to Facebook.
And all
you should
her
go look at them. They're so cute. Custom Cookies by Peggy.
Yeah. Very, very detailed.
She did one that was like a whole nativity scene.
Yeah.
On a cookie.
On a cookie.
She's really detailed.
That's hard to
she's
do.
She's really good.
Crazy.
Yeah.
No doubt about
good
it.
Good stuff. And we've got more on text on Salty the Billy Bass.
Oh, jeez. Well, we'll get to that next
Apparently
hour.
Apparently, a lot of people have those. I didn't know.
I have one.
Of course you do.
Put away. Father-in-law has one, I think.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Nice.
We'll see you.
All right,
you're listening
care,
to the Virginia Talk Radio Network, 100.9 WIP.